Happy Father's Day, Rio Town. Y'all, this is my first Father's Day. Any guesses on what I'm going to talk about today? Yeah, maybe fatherhood. It'd be a good idea. But I want to start off today with some honesty, because I know that while this day might bring about, you know, warm feelings and memories about, you know, your dad, for some of us, for our dads who are present and faithful, or a husband, friend, or a brother who's just been killing it in the role as a father, and that should be celebrated today. Let me say that again. That should be celebrated today. But for some of us, you know, this day might stir up some emotions, right? Because for some of us, we might have lost our fathers, or we never really had one, or we had one that was there physically, but wasn't there emotionally. So if Father's Day stirs up anything in you, whether good or complicated, I want you to know you're not alone. And here's the truth that I want to speak to today, that fatherhood isn't perfect in earthly terms. Neither is it always graceful or easy, but it is one of the most important and also humbling callings that any man could ever take on. But before we dive into this, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the perfect Father. God, I just pray that you just speak to us through your word, that we see more of you. For those of us who may not have had a father figure in our lives, who have been hurt by our fathers, that we find healing and comfort in you, and knowing that you are the good Father. Just open our hearts today, that we see you, and that we ultimately just get closer to Jesus. That's all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you didn't know, like I said, it's my first Father's Day. Just a couple months ago, my son was born. And I think I got a picture of him in the hospital. It was the first time I held my son in the hospital. And, you know, I'll be honest, in that moment, it was beautiful, right? It was this powerful, unreal moment of like holding your first kid, and then the day that we went home, it was like, oh, you know, at first it was like, oh, I'm a father, and then we got home and it was like, oh, I'm a father. I don't know if you know this or not, but they don't like give you a pamphlet or a manual on how to be a mother or father when you leave the hospital. In fact, what they give you is like this big list of papers of like what to do if things go wrong, right? And it's like, yeah, call this number if this happens. So, you know, to help your anxiety, right? I mean, it's crazy. Even though I'm, only about 4 months into this, you know, just got a vast perspective and wisdom of time as a father. You know, but even though I'm just new into this, I've realized something. I realized that that my worries and fears have already shifted a little when it comes to my son. Sure, I still, you know, worry about his safety and his health, right? You know, check his breathing every 10 seconds, make sure he's alive when he's sleeping. Anybody else there? But I also find myself wondering now, what kind of man will my son grow up to be? Like, am I teaching him the right values? Right? Like, am I living as the example that he needs me to be? And remember, he's only 4 months old. But here's the thing. As I wrestle with those questions, I don't know if you have too, I realize that I'm not just battling with my own doubts, but I'm also up against the world's version of what it means to be a dad, what they say it means to be a dad. Because culture, wider culture around us, it already has this definition of what fatherhood is, what it should look like, what it looks like to raise a child. And to be honest, a lot of it's like confusing, a lot of it's frustrating or just plain wrong. I mean, just think about it. As a man, if you're a man in here, from a young age, many of us are taught, either directly or indirectly, that showing emotion is a sign of weakness. We have all heard statements like, you know, don't cry. Men don't cry. Man up, right? Don't be weak. We were taught that to be a man, it meant to keep our feelings locked down tight, to act like we have it all together, to, you know, no softness, no vulnerability. You don't talk about your fears. You don't show affection. You don't admit when you're struggling. And this is that whole toxic masculinity idea, right? The false idea that being a real man means that it means being emotionally absent, being unbreakable or distant. And what this has done for many of us as men is that we bring some of that emotional distance, that toxic masculinity, into our role as fathers. So some of us become distant and cold, not because we don't care, but because we think that's what it means to be a man. We assume that our job as fathers is to just provide and protect. And don't get me wrong, I think that is part of our calling, is to provide and protect. But here's the truth. Being a provider and protector of our family, that doesn't mean that we have to be cold and emotionally detached. Amen? Being a father doesn't equal being emotionally absent. Psalms 116 says this. It says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is compassionate. You see, our fatherhood is supposed to be a reflection of God's fatherhood towards us. And if God is gracious and compassionate to his children, to us, then we should be gracious and compassionate to our children too. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's nowhere in scripture that says, yeah, because you're a man, you're actually supposed to be emotionless. Like, no, like God is full of emotions. He's full of compassion and grace. I mean, just a few verses before this in that same psalm, in verse 1 and 2, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he has heard my appeal for mercy, because he has turned his ear to me. Listen, God listens. He's not closed off. He's not cold and distant. He's not emotionless. No, he leans in and he's attentive to us. So why is it that we as men, talking to you men, especially as fathers, why is it that we tend to think that being emotionally available or being a good listener is something that only moms are supposed to do? Like, why is that? I mean, we as fathers, we're called to that too. We're called to be fully present. And not just physically showing up, right? But emotionally and spiritually and mentally too. There's actually a study done by the National Fatherhood Initiative. If you haven't seen it, check out their website. They have a lot of resources. And it shows something really powerful. It showed that children who have involved, engaged in responsible fathers, They were far more likely to perform better academically, to exhibit healthier social behaviors, and to grow up with a stronger self-worth. In fact, kids with attentive dads were 40% less likely to struggle with behavior problems and far more likely to show resilience in the face of challenge. And I mean, that's astounding, isn't it? And there's so much other statistics out there about crime rates and the role that a father has, the importance of having a father. And these stats aren't at all meant to diminish the role of mothers, because that role is important too. But listen, fathers, your presence matters. Not just your paycheck, not just your protection, your presence, your voice, your love, your attention, it all matters. I mean, my work with youth in Lansing, I see it all the time. Most of the kids that we work with that have issues that are causing problems, that are on the streets, almost guaranteed they don't have a father figure at home. I mean, it's all around us. It's evident all around us that the role of a present father figure is vital for the formation and growth of a child. And listen, that kind of presence from a father, the kind that listens and the kind that leans in emotionally, the kind that shows love, not just in provision, but in compassion, that kind of presence leaves a lasting impact on a child's soul. And the reason I think that is because when a father is emotionally present, not just physically, but emotionally present, he communicates something foundational. He communicates to his children that you matter, that I see you, that I'm with you. And just think about it. Isn't that all that we wanted to hear as a kid? Right? Whether we had good dads or distant dads or no dads at all, every child just longs to for their father to notice them, to delight in them, to slow down and ask, how are you doing? And actually really care about the answer. In fact, some of the most impactful moments I can recall in my own life with my own father is him just simply showing up and being engaged, even still as an adult. Now I get it. Some of us are trying, right? Like we're showing up, we're doing our best to be present and engaged, and but there are times when it feels like we're falling short as fathers. Like we might lose our patience. We might say the wrong thing. We might get tired, frustrated, or distracted. And then when these things happen, we tend to carry this guilt, like somehow we failed. And then that guilt, it can make us want to check out. It can make us want to stop showing up. But if that's you today, I want you to know this, that presence does not equal perfection. Being present doesn't mean being perfect. It doesn't mean you never raise your voice. It doesn't mean you always say the right thing. It doesn't mean you never lose patience or forget a school event or run out of energy when your kids want to play with you. No, because guess what? God never called us to be perfect fathers. He never called us to have it all figured out. He just called us to be present and faithful. Present and faithful, to show up, to lean in, to try again, even when we're tired, even when we're insecure, even when we feel like we've already blown it. Hebrews 12 encourages us with this truth. It says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. You see, God's call isn't for us to run a perfect race. It's not even for us to run as fast as we can. It's to run with endurance, to keep going even when it's hard, to keep showing up even when we stumble. It's about being faithful. And I know this can be hard sometimes, right? Because if we're honest, everything around us, you know, the culture, social media, even our own upbringing sometimes can scream the opposite. It screams, you got to do more. You got to be more. You got to have it all figured out. And when that happens, it's so easy to fall into comparison. Right? You're at home just trying to get your kids to just brush their teeth, just to take a shower, right? And they're just hoping that they just don't have a meltdown. And then you're scrolling on social media, you see some parents just building their custom tree house for their kid, and then they still have time to make them organic lunches after that, and then at nighttime, they tuck them in, they just go straight to sleep after their Bible study that they give, and you're just sitting there like, I can't do that. Like, how am I going to live up to that expectation? And if we're not careful, we can start stacking up our fatherhood, our worth against someone else's highlights reels. We can start questioning whether we're enough as fathers, whether we've done enough, whether we've given enough. But listen, comparison is a liar. Because it doesn't tell the whole story, and it'll rob you of your joy and your confidence and your presence faster than anything else. But hear me out. You don't have to have everything or be everything. You just have to be there. You just have to show up. Your presence, even in your imperfections, matter more than you think. Because when it's all said and done, what your children will remember isn't whether or not you were perfect. Because guess what? They're going to find out eventually that you're not. They're going to see your flaws. But what they'll remember is whether you showed up or not. Whether you were present and attentive. And whether they could count on you to lean in, even if you didn't have all the answers. So don't let comparison stop you from showing up. And also don't let imperfection convince you that you're weak or that you're failing. And this is for all parents, not just fathers. Imperfection does not equal weakness. Y'all, you want to know one of the most powerful things that you can do as a parent, as a father? It's to own your imperfections. It's to openly acknowledge, especially to your children, that you don't have it all together. This means admitting when you've messed up, to apologize when you've sinned against your children. And yes, you can sin against your children. But listen, when you do this, when you ask your kids for forgiveness when you messed up, what you're doing is more than just being honest. What you're communicating to them is that they don't have to carry the impossible burden of perfection themselves. How? Because you're showing them what it means to be human. That everyone makes mistakes, that everyone stumbles, and it's okay to be honest about that. But even more than that, which you, in doing this and in displaying that kind of humility, you're also pointing them to the gospel. You're living out the good news of grace and redemption in real time to them, because you're showing them that we are all sinners, that we all are in need of a savior, even dad. And listen, admitting your fault, asking forgiveness and growing from it, that isn't weakness. It's actually a display of true strength, the kind of strength that builds trust and deepens relationships and models what it means to truly walk with Christ in everyday life. All right, now I want to get real for a minute, because just like I mentioned earlier, I know that some of us sitting here today, while this whole conversation is nice and you know, practical, you know, some of us are sitting here today and, you know, this whole conversation about father just stirred up some pain. Maybe for you, fatherhood isn't a title that brings comfort, but one that brings pain. Maybe you're thinking about the empty seat at your graduation or the lack of presence at your wedding. Maybe your dad left you. Or maybe he stayed, but he never showed up. Maybe you're a single mom in here just thinking about, how do I fill this role for my kids? How do I be both mom and dad? How do I teach my son or my daughter what it means to be a mature human being when their father isn't present? Or maybe you're an active father here today, but you're terrified thinking, I never had anyone show me how to do this. Like, what if I mess this up? Well, like it was messed up for me. If that's you today, I just want you to hear this. This is the gospel truth that changes everything. God doesn't just want to be your heavenly father. He wants to also heal your understanding of what fatherhood even means. One of the most powerful passages in scripture is found in Romans 8. It says this, for all those led by God's spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, there's some theologians that debate over this passage, mainly over that word Abba. Abba, Father. Because it's actually a transliteration of the Aramaic word father that Jesus himself uses to address his heavenly father. Like, and so why would Paul put this here? Why wouldn't Paul just use the Hebrew version or the Greek version of father? Why would he use that version? And I think here's the thing. What I believe he's trying to get at is for those of us who have become God's children, who have been adopted into his family, we now have the same familiar access, the same intimacy with God the Father as Jesus did. Meaning we can cry out, Abba, Father, just like Jesus did. Because of Jesus, we can use the same words. We can approach the perfect Father, not in fear, but in closeness as sons and daughters. And I love how one commentator writes this. He says, believers can say Abba because they have become sons in the Son. You see, true fatherhood is sonship. It starts not with what you do, but who you belong to. So no matter what your earthly father did or didn't do, you have to understand that in Christ, you now have a father who never leaves you or forsakes you, who always listens, who delights in you, who disciplines with love, who provides completely, who protects perfectly, who forgives you entirely. Like to those of us who never had a father or lost one too soon, your heavenly father sees the hole that absence left. He knows that pain and the questions and the longing inside of you. And he's there saying, I'm here. I've always been here. I'm not going to leave you. Let me show you what a father's love really looks like. To all the single moms in here who are carrying the weight of both roles, God sees you. He sees your strength. He sees your sacrifice. Your quiet and your loud prayers. And he's saying to you, you're not alone in this. Because I'm the father your child needs. And I'm working through you in ways that you can't even see. See, your children don't need perfect earthly fathers to thrive. No, they just need you to point them to their perfect heavenly father. For the fathers who feel unqualified, I want you to know that you're not alone. You may not have had someone show you how to do this. You may carry some fear of repeating what was done to you, but you don't have to be a product of your past. Because through Christ, you can be a pattern breaker. You can be a cycle changer. Because here's the truth. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. You're not fathering alone. You have access to wisdom from the one who created fatherhood. You have power from the one who redeems broken stories. You have grace from the one who sees you completely and loves you. Psalm 68 tells us, says, God is a father to the fatherless. And that's not just a verse for those who grew up without it. That it's a promise to every single one of us. No matter how much you lack, no matter how unprepared you feel, no matter how broken your story is, God steps in and he says, I'm sufficient. I'm enough. You know, I know fatherhood will stretch you. Parenting in general will stretch you. It'll humble you, right? Anybody can relate to that? It'll reveal every weakness you didn't even know you had in the flesh. But it's also one of the clearest pictures of God's heart that you'll ever step into. Because fatherhood isn't about having all the answers. It's about leading your kids to the one who does. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to stay close to the one who is. Because the more you walk with him, with Jesus, the more he'll teach you how to walk with your children. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being the good father, for showing us what it means to lead our families as a father, how important the role is. And sometimes, God, that pressure is so heavy on us. But God, I thank you that we have Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to carry that weight alone, that we don't have to run as fast as we can, that we don't have to prove anything, that we just lean on you and you equip us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and comfort in times of distress or times that we just are lost. Let's pray that we just learn to lean on you, to trust in you in those times. That we take a step back when we're struggling as parents. We just take a step back and get recentered in who you are and what you've done. Not on us and what we can do. And that's all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.